Well, we appreciate the presence of everyone today. Good to have you here on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. It's just great to be able to worship God with people of kindred spirit, or as Peter would say, of like precious faith. Of like precious faith. Precious is the gospel. We're grateful for every faithful Christian, and we're grateful for every influence that the Word of God has had on anyone at any time in any place. There are a lot of people that will never obey the gospel, but who live under the influence of some Bible teaching. And we're grateful for that. That makes them better people. And when we're around them, we get the benefit of that. And so it's just great. And we pray for the spread of the influence of the Word. And of course, the spread of the gospel. We just sang that song, Send the Light. Daddy trained a lot of preachers in the course of his lifetime. And he always, when we would sing that song in chapel, he would quite often have us to sing Take the Light, since he was training preachers, and preachers were going forth from there to preach the gospel various places. So we just sang Take the Light. And he loved that song. Well, we know what it's like for somebody to be in the way. The title of this lesson this morning is Getting in the Way. You ever tried to walk and there's a dog or a cat right in front of you? And they're just walking slowly right in front of you. You're trying to get somewhere and every step you take, they're right in front of you. And you're just about ready to kick them to the moon. Well, it's such an aggravation. They're just in the way. Just in the way. Or maybe we've been on the highway and somebody's just poking along. Speed limit 70 and he's going 30. And there's a yellow line. I've noticed in our culture, you know, that yellow line doesn't mean a lot to people anymore. They don't do it with a view toward God. They don't. But anyway, there's a yellow line and 30 miles an hour and you're just waiting for your opportunity. He's just in the way. And then as I've gotten older on occasion, I have to admit, I had looked up in the rearview mirror and realized I was in somebody's way. So I have to be more sympathetic sometimes because I'm in the way. What are we doing here on this earth? Are we really making a contribution to somebody's welfare? Are we making a contribution to the glory of God? Are we just taking up space? And even worse than that, are we in somebody's way? You have a lot of verses in Scripture that pinpoint instances where there were great difficulties in the lives of brethren. And it wasn't always a pleasant day. And there were things that they had to wrestle with, just like we do. And there were perplexities and difficulties. And sometimes there was even violence. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 16. You have a severe case of opposition reported by Paul. When he preached the gospel in Thessalonica, the congregation was established in the midst of persecution. That's terrible to think about. That's the way the congregation got started. There was violence. There was opposition. There was an uproar. And when he talks about the Jews that were responsible for that, he gives them one of the most scathing rebukes ever handed out in Scripture. The Lord's words in Matthew 23 are not any more severe than Paul's remarks here in 1 Thessalonians 2. Now the congregation, you know, he says, you became imitators of the churches in Judea composed of Jews. Because you just suffered like they did from their countrymen. But the Jews that didn't obey the gospel, what did they do? Verse 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove out us, and please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved, to fill up their sins always, but the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, it was more than just being in the way. It was actually opposition, but they were in the way. The Jews that refused to obey the gospel of Christ and become a member of one of those churches in Judea, they opposed, they were against, they were an impediment to progress on this earth. Sad to think about it. Now that's a severe case. If you go to Romans 14 and verse 21, you'll have Paul's discussion of what can be a very mild case of being in the way. In Romans 14, 21, he's talking to brethren. How do you treat your brethren? Well, you don't need to get in their way. You don't need to cause problems for members of the congregation. Yeah, you know you've got some rights that maybe some new convert doesn't know he's got. Maybe you with a clear conscience can eat some meat, and he cannot with a clear conscience eat any yet. He's going to have to be brought along slowly and educated and informed so that his conscience doesn't kill him. And don't run over his conscience. Don't run roughshod over his conscience. Jesus died for that man. Don't you get in his way. Notice, let's see, let's come down to verse 21. It is good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Now, you know, Jesus was sometimes called, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a stumbling block. And he wasn't to blame for that. Now, here's a case where Paul says, you can be blamed. So a stumbling block can be looked at it more than one way. Jesus was that over which Jews stumbled because they rejected him. He was turned down, and so they tripped over him. Instead of seeing him as the Messiah and their Savior and their only hope, they fell down over him. They crucified him. They persecuted his church. Jesus wasn't to blame. He did everything perfectly right, but he was a stumbling block. But there's a sense in which he explains right here in Romans 14. Now, you can be a stumbling block and be blameworthy for it because you did not use good judgment. And you cause somebody to fall. He didn't have to fall. Now, let me say this too. Anytime somebody falls down, falls over, he's responsible for his fall. I'm not taking personal responsibility away from anybody. But I don't want to lead my brother into sin. And I don't want to get in the way of an alien sinner who might obey the gospel of Christ by living in such a way that I discourage him from doing that. So we pray for wisdom. We try to practice righteousness. We try to maintain a good disposition. We try to make wise decisions so that we can, by our example, have as good an influence on non-Christians as we possibly can. It's a pretty good obligation. It's a privilege, but it's a pretty good assignment to be light. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. And to do that, like Christ did, as wisely as Christ did, not trying to be hurtful, not trying to hurt feelings, not trying to get in anybody's way, trying to be the way before them, to show them the way, to show interest in them in behalf of the way. My goodness, but you can contribute to another person's fall, and that's what this lesson is about. Getting in the way of people. Getting in the way. We read of this in Ezra. The first point on the outline is people that did not want the temple rebuilt. Anytime that we stand up for the restoration of truth, we're going to face opposition. Sanballat and some people with him, when they learned that there was work going on and the temple was being rebuilt and somebody was showing interest in the Jews from somewhere else, he didn't like that. And so the work was stopped for a while. Many years went by and it was just stopped. Somebody got in the way of building the temple again. Ezra chapter 4 verses 4 and 5 and other passages there, as you know. So what I'm saying is, anytime you try to do the right thing, somebody will not want that to be done. We learned in chapter 10, as we were concluding the book of Ezra, that when Ezra found out that there were people living immoral lives back in Palestine because they had contracted unscriptural marriages, that there was an opposition to straightening that thing out. We were talking about some of these problems this morning in Bible class, standing up for what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we plan on continuing to do that, even though many people just plainly will not do that at all. But when Ezra, you know, got into it and others were helping him, and it was a matter of some months to get that all ferreted out, and the economy of it all, the responsibilities of all the women and the children, getting all that fixed up. And from the start, there were those who opposed to doing it. They just rather let everybody alone. Let everybody stay in sin. What's a few sins among brethren? Let's just keep these foreign wives. Let's take care of all these kids. Ezra doesn't know what he's doing. He's an extremist. He's a legalist. He has no rights here. He's a newcomer. Anytime somebody says, we've got to get back to the Bible, there will be those who raise their hands in horror and say, you cannot do that. We will not allow that. Or nobody knows what the Bible says anyway. It's been tried for hundreds of years. There will never be peace with Scripture. And there are people that will